Hello and welcome, friends, to another 11 p.m. nightcap. I feel kind of weird. I don't know if it's, so it's pretty hot here today. It was like 85. And it hasn't, I don't even know if it's been close to 75 yet this season. And so it's like 85 degrees and super humid. And even though it's now 11 o'clock, it is still 75 degrees outside. We've talked about this before, but here's an interesting thing. At least I find this interesting. About, say, Arizona. So if you look at Arizona today, so Arizona today was, let's see. Arizona today. Now, it said that they had a high of 85, which is cooler than it was here almost. And we'll go up to, I think Saturday it says like 100 degrees. But here's the thing. That's 100 degrees, but then at night, it goes down to 74. Or like on Friday, it's going to be 94 and goes down to like 63. And the thing is, I feel like that cooling off in the lack of humidity at night. Like right now, you go upstairs, it feels stuffy. Everything is like humid. You know, we had rain, the pollen and the trees and the grass and everything is coming out now. And like all that just adds to a whole lot of humidity. And I hate it. The humidity just fucks me up. And I feel like I'm having allergy overload and some work stress overload. And I was sleepy and I feel tight and crunchy and sore and just kind of sore, just kind of fucked up. I didn't go to the gym today. By the time I got done with work and then had a long conversation with a coworker of mine, the time I got done with that was like pushing to 6 o'clock, and I'm like I need to lay down for a little bit. Because I normally take a break sort of like in the afternoon. I'll lay down for like 15, 20 minutes. I was so busy today. I didn't really get a chance to do that because I had maintenance come for my HVAC for air conditioning and all that. So by the time you get to the done, like I'm beat. And so I took a little bit of a nap and I got up. I'm like, I don't want to do anything. I'm just going to eat food and then just fucking flop here and watch a little bit of TV. And that TV is what we're going to talk about a little bit later tonight. The series The Terror, specifically in this case, season one, which was actually based off of a book called The Terror. We talked about that a little bit previously. But, I was like, what do I want to do? Yes, I dyed my goatee. It looks very dark right now because I just did it, but I did use the light brown. So I'm hoping that after, tomorrow morning or a day or so, that will lighten up a little bit and hopefully matches, a little more closely to my actual, facial hair color than the natural black did. But, this is the same brand. It's really easy to go on. Like it applies really easy. And the nice thing is it doesn't add like a weird fake like thickness to your hair. Like you can't really see when you get closer, you can see that it doesn't look like paint. It's only when I lean back that it gets really dark because the camera can't quite pick it up. But here's a cheers to all of you out there. Let's enjoy a little bit of some mellow corn. But I had kind of a, work today. Do you ever have one of those days where like, why is this stuff fucking up? Like, we've had things that have been working fine for weeks, and then today we kept getting blips. And I'm asking some of the guys, I'm like, what is going on with this? And I'm getting a lot of, I don't know, I'm just seeing a lot of, like, what the fuck? How can we have anything that runs reliable if the machines and everything else we have don't fucking work? So, frustrating in that regard, but I think I made enough headway so that tomorrow and Friday I can get done what I need to get done and be well on the road to a relaxing weekend. Black Cat says cheers. Black Cat today is cosplaying as Veronica Lake because her hair is lustrous and wavy and beautiful. I have a thing for hair, I'm not gonna lie. I find that to be a very attractive quality. It's something that always catches my eye. I don't really think that has anything to do with the fact that I in fact shave my head. It's always been a thing. Maybe I was Samson in another life. But yeah, I just feel I don't know, I feel beat up. This is like, I know we're over the hump of the midweek, and I feel like that's a good thing because I need it, and I especially just need to go to bed. I think after this episode is over, we're gonna do some stretching and hit it. I got a really the neck pillow, by the way, is fantastic. I every time I try to go back to like a regular like pillow, I find that I like sleep way worse and I feel way shittier than getting used to like an actual ergonomic like sleeping pillow, like a memory foam with like a contour that like fits your neck and head properly. Way better. Black Cat says, I guess Mercury just went into retrograde. I don't know how it would affect your business, but things in printing went nuts in communication. Maybe that's it. It could be. The old joke used to be sunspots, but the thing is, I feel like it's not a joke. I feel like there's more electromagnetic and solar interference and shit than we probably realize. So I don't know why stuff was going haywire today, but I certainly hope it's not like that tomorrow. Fucking, and the thing was, they were all like, basically the equivalent of like, all right, well, like just clear the thing out and restart it again, and that's fine. And like, wasn't even really causing problems. It was just interruptions, interruptions after interruptions. Like we had one person who called, and they had the following problem. They're like, hey. We were running at 100%, and I'm looking at this now, and now we're not 100%. We're at like 90 whatever percent. And I'm like, this is why I always warn you, do not put percents like this on reporting screens because it's the break the chain. People will fight and strive to get the super high number, and then they're fixated on that number, and it drops a single percent, and they're like, and you're like, oh my God. She's like, it's off and it's ruining my store and I don't know what happened. And it's another like you look and there's this email chain of screenshots and all this bullshit. And I'm like, oh, all right, let's take a look. And so you take a look in what it is. Their first run of the day. They missed, but then the things get re-queued, and on the re-queue, they caught it. But this person must have looked at the diagnostic window right in between when they first missed their job and caught it. And everybody likes to think that everything out in the is real time out there in the world, but to do stuff real time with like things like that is so expensive. And so I dig in and look at it, and like, well, you can see it right here. It's because they had to retry this. So in the 90 seconds before this thing refreshes its diagnostic output, they're freaking out over this. I'm like, will you refresh the page now? Just refreshes it. Oh yeah, it looks fine now. Thanks. So I'm just done. Today was just a fucking beatdown of a day. I was just fucking over it. Electromagnetic stuff is real. I mean, we're all walking batteries, right? I'm not pressing my beliefs on anyone, but I believe human beings are more than just their constituent breakdown chemical parts. But I do believe that we are chemical parts, of course. And let's be honest, we're all walking batteries. We're walking bags of fucking water and salt and electricity. So why wouldn't you be affected by that stuff? don't know, maybe I'm just... Maybe that's the smell of the corn talking. The Black Cat, how was the rest of your day? Saw you posting a lot of stuff. Seems like you've got a lot going through your mind or going through your head or going on or whatever. So what have you been up to? What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? You don't even have to like write a whole ton, but what's been on your mind? You doing okay? I'm having a period where I'm suddenly like worried about everybody because another big company corporation today had massive layoffs and a whole bunch of people lost their job. And that was all because of a stupid corporate move. So the company Carvana, I'm sure you've seen the Carvana ads. Carvana's whole business model was built on car dealerships are stupid and dealers are stupid and they all suck and they're terrible and we're better. Which obviously made the dealerships not like them very much. And of course you go, well, competition's competition. However, Carvana made the sort of mistake of turning around and basically buying a car auction place that is primarily supported and dependent on a lot of dealers. And so as soon as that huge giant purchase was made, all the dealers are basically like, yeah, go fuck yourself. And so now they're in a huge problem and they're losing money and they had to lay off like 2,500 people or something. And like, once again, it's the people sitting at the desks trying to make this shit work for these fucking assholes who think they are, you know, cult of personality god figures, and then they just fuck everything up. Another that apparently is also happening, if, for example, Rocket Auto, they recently just shit the bed, and I think they're, what, down to like 1% or whatever they're evaluating, like, they are fucking shitting the bed. And there's people that hitch their wagon to that train. Oh, wow, Rocket Auto and Quicken. Man, this guy's brilliant. 500 million. Yeah, 500 million that he basically more or less cheated, stole, and did backdoor sketchy shit about. And now that company is getting sued by like an entire state and they're fucked. So, yeah, wow. Man, they're kicking ass. Doing great. So a lot of people I know are losing their jobs. A lot of people are getting screamed at by management because obviously that trickles down. The top C-suite level people scream at the upper level management. Upper level management doesn't know what else to say, so they scream at the middle managers. The middle managers turn around and basically scream at all of the people who are barely able to not have nervous breakdowns trying to make everything work because the next people actually do anything. I'm just beat. I'm so beat. And I don't want to say like my spirit is about broken, but it's getting close. I feel like I need this move. I need some cruise control time between people being sick. At like another really good friend of mine, she's had bronchitis now for 2 months. She's got chronic bronchitis and they keep trying to get rid of it and it like keeps coming back. And you can't really fight that. Like she doesn't have a bacterial infection. It's just a combination of, I don't know. It could be COVID damage for all I know. But it's not a bacterial issue, and you can't really give antivirals for that, as far as I know. So she's on steroids and whatever else, and now she's all depressed because she put on a lot of weight. And not only did she put on a lot of weight because of the steroids, but she can't work out because her bronchitis is bad. And so she's super sad and depressed and feels terrible about herself. And I'm worried about, I'm like, I just... It's depressing to not feel well for some of us. I feel like it's depressing to not feel well in general. I mean, I pride myself on, yeah, you know what? As long as you have your health, physical and mental, and I feel like they go hand in hand. But as long as you have those, like you can conquer, like if you have that and a fairly good will, you can do anything and survive and have happiness. But once you're body falls sick or starts falling apart, and then the depression, like now it's just you're in a downward spiral. It's terrible. It's fucking terrible, man. Black Cat says, I get it. I think you'll be able to feel better for a day. Then it's like you have sleeping sickness. Well, I think the sleeping sickness is, I would say like that's the, so when I was getting some of my upper cervical specialist, There's a very interesting chart on the wall that we discussed and went through. And it talks about healing cycle and how, especially with certain treatments and therapies, you'll start to feel really good, and then all of a sudden you'll have sort of a crash where you feel almost worse. And the thing is that's your body readjusting and recovering, and like there's going to be cycles. And I think they say they go like, I don't know if it's like 90 days or something like that. I feel like it's often the same thing when you get sick. Like you feel terrible, and then all of a sudden you'll turn the corner and be like, wow, I feel great because I think the illness is gone. And then you just feel like so unbelievably tired. And you're like, well, it's because your body just spent how many resources fighting that thing off? What you need now is protein and sleep. You need to just go be in a cool, dark corner somewhere and sleep for like 3 days. Like your body needs to recover all of the damage it basically just did to itself. So like, man, it's Black Cat says I can usually defeat things with my attitude, but I can't force it this time. I would say don't. You need the rest. That's just, man, the batteries run low, you gotta recharge. And don't feel guilty or bad about it. Again, you're human too. You know, your will and everything, like sleeps for 2 days at a time. I mean, if you need it, you need it. I think the thing is just make sure you're getting fluids and make sure you're getting food. But like, if you need the sleep, you need the sleep. Depriving yourself of sleep and trying to push forward, I feel like when you need that rest, you end up just falling back into some illness. I mean, I've done that before. I've done it before because of these fucking jobs. All right, well, I'm starting to feel better. I got to get back and get this shit done. Next thing you know, you're back in ultra stress world and now you're not sleeping. And part of the reason why you're not sleeping is because of anxiety. But then the other part of it is, shit, I just signed off of work and I feel like if I go to bed right now, which I should, I have no time to not be at work. I just work and sleep. So you stay up late because you want to watch a TV show or do something, whatever, and now you're sleep deprived. It's a mess. It's a fucking mess. And I tell the people that have worked for me in the past, do not do this. If this is the way that you have to be to get things done, then our management is fucked. We need to reevaluate our management. Our scheduling is off. But like, you can't do that. And it's one thing, and this is what I tried to, you know, I had this manager, he's, oh no, I don't agree. I'm like, I'm not talking about in a crisis. It's different if it's a crisis. If something goes aberrant and we need to fix it, I get it. But as general course of week over week, this is the way you operate, horseshit. It's fucking horseshit. And you can't tell me that you're going to fix that by just adding more employees either. Because the only thing that happens with that is adding more employees for the people upstairs will just go, well, if we can get this amount of time and this, like with these amount of people, adding two more people means we can get it done X percent faster, which means we should be able to add X amount of more work and still be able to be at the same spot. It's not like that. That may work if you are on a shop floor producing widgets or something, but it doesn't work when you've got people interacting, like having to build stuff. It doesn't work. Senthakazi stopping in within evening. Senthakazi, we're all feeling kind of beat up and shitty today. Black Cat's not feeling so good. She's kind of sick and has sleeping sickness. I'm kind of mentally, emotionally, and physically feeling beat up. How are you doing? How did your stress test go? I'm interested to know how that went or if you got the results from that back yet. I'm going to take a drink while I wait for that answer. So, as we're sort of nearing the halfway mark of the episode, I'm going to do a little bit of a preamble here. So, AMC a while back had a show on called The Terror. And I don't know why, but initially I did not watch it. I think I forgot to set a DVR or something at the time. Didn't catch the beginning of it. And then figured, oh, it'll be on demand and I'll watch it later. Which I feel like didn't quite happen. And part of the reason why that might not have happened is because I think it was fairly popular. But I missed it. It wasn't that I wasn't interested in it, but I missed it. I missed it when it was on. And then afterwards, it was never, it was like never on like the free on demand. It was like, well, you could get it off of Amazon Prime, but you had to pay like the 50, 60 bucks and buy the whole series. Which I'm like, I don't really want to do that. Especially like, I mean, it's a more or less a mini series. You know, the series, The Terror, it's like the first season is a complete story. The second season is completely separate and different from the first. In a way, I don't even know why they call it The Terror, because it's not based off The Terror, which was a book. But I digress. Santa Kazi says, whoa, you remembered? Of course. I remember. How many times have I said this? I care about all you guys. And it may not be that I think about you all 24 hours a day. But the things like this that you are doing that are important, especially that I feel like are probably stressful and maybe a little scary, I remember that stuff. So I love all you guys. It was hard. You only made it 7 minutes, but they said everything was normal. Well, that tends to be how those stress tests go. They want you to push yourself as hard as you can. That's why it's a stress test. But I think 7 minutes is still pretty good. And as long as they said that everything was normal, fucking awesome. Cheers to you. That's great news. I think the last time I had to do one of those is when they were investigating one of my heart valves leaks a little bit, but they said I've probably always had that. And it's not anything that like requires surgery or whatever on. Who knows? Maybe that's why I'm all tired all the time now. But that's good. That's good news. Good for you. So this series, The Terror, again, was based on a book. And the first season of that, I just couldn't find it where it wasn't something that I had to buy and pay for. So I recently had gotten Hulu, and the reason why I got Hulu was because I wanted to watch the Mayans MC. There's a couple other shows on there that I wanted to watch. I can't remember what the other thing was that I wanted to watch that was on there. Oh, I wanted to watch Archer. There's a handful of stuff on there. I was like, you know what? I kind of want to check some of these shows out. So what the hell? I'll get it for a month or two and watch a bunch of stuff. And lo and behold, I see that The Terror is on there. And you can watch both seasons. So I decided to give that a watch. Senator Kazi says, I'm just not happy with the fact that my blood pressure was 192 at the end. I don't know. I feel that's really high. It is really high. That's definitely high. However, momentary spikes or elevations in blood pressure during moments of stress or one thing. If your blood pressure is 192 when you're basically just sitting around, then you have a really serious problem. So just make sure that that's never the case, that you're never just like sitting and chilling out and your blood pressure is that high. I've had times where, depending on what I've done, mine has gone, I don't want to say close to that, but pretty high. But mine ranges all over the place. I've had times where, just because of work and whatever, I go and I'll check it in the afternoon. I'm like, holy shit, it's like 150. What the fuck? And then I've had times where like, okay, I get done working out and I get home and I feel like my blood pressure's through the roof and I check it and it's like 110. So I guess I would say the only thing on that would be to monitor it regularly. Get a good blood pressure monitor. Try it on both arms. You may notice a difference in blood pressure between either arm, which, look, we're not perfectly symmetrical. So try that. And also, you know, try it after, like, don't, if you just eat a big meal, don't take it right after you eat, because it's going to make your blood pressure go up. Like, there's things that you can do that will make it go up and down. Also, some people get lab coat syndrome, where you go, oh my God, I'm checking my blood pressure. What if my blood pressure is high? Okay, well, now you're anxious, and now your anxiety is going to make your blood pressure go up. So they often say, put the blood pressure cuff on and then try to relax. Take some deep breaths and try to just calm down for a minute and then take it. You may be surprised at how fast and how big the number swings. I've had that where I've taken it and it was like 145. And then I took some deep breaths and said, all right, just calm down a minute. And then I took it again and it was like 120. Just sitting, the top number was 143. I mean, that's not great, but that's not like horrendous. My question would be, what is the bottom number? Because especially when the bottom number is really high, that's when you get real big danger. So if you're like 143 over 80, that's not as bad as like 110 over 130. That's terrible. So anyway, it's some blood pressure stuff. I take blood pressure medicine. I had to go on, had one blood pressure medicine that was giving me this dry cough where I felt terrible for the longest time. And they switched me to a different blood pressure medicine. And that went away. It was lisinopril. If you take lisinopril and you ever find yourself getting a dry cough, that is commonly known as the lisinopril cough. I think that medicine is terrible and sucks. So if you find yourself like that, tell your doctor about it and try a different medicine. Sent the cause I forgot and the test results won't load. I imagine it was probably fine because if it wasn't, or if it was that high, they would have done something about it. So I'm sure, yeah, you're gonna want to keep an eye on it, but I wouldn't treat it as anything that is an immediate emergency. Metoprolol? Metoprolol. I don't know if I'm familiar with that. Let's see. Lipressor, receptor blocker, high blood pressure, chest pain due to poor blood flow, number of conditions, fast heart rate. Yeah. I mean, you just got to watch that stuff. Different medicines work different for different people. So, don't ever think that it's not within your purview to ask your doctor, look, I would like to explore maybe a different medicine. I don't either think this is working or it's making me feel weird. You always have that option. There's several drugs for treating almost everything out there. So, all right, podcast folks, let's take a break. And then when we get back, I'm going to read a wonderfully written little review slash synopsis of The Terror. So my off-the-cuff review of The Terror is spectacular. I give it five stranded ships out of 10. It's phenomenal. The acting, writing, cinematography, everything about it is just top-notch. It's an extremely gothic tale. I think a lot of people might think it depressing. But I think it just tells a brutally real story that is a harrowing slice of history. Black Cat says, I just got Hulu for a month. Maybe I'll take a gander. Absolutely. Absolutely. I would put that on your watch list and watch it. It's incredible. Sentakaze has been on that medication for 2 years and loves it. Well, here's the thing. It is and it isn't. So what this was, okay, and let's go through this a little bit. I'm gonna look this up. Need to look at the trying to find the I need to add the I need to add here we go. This will be better. So here's what this is based on. So we'll do a few things here slightly out of order. So in regards to the question, it's real. It's kind of real. And this is based on Franklin's Lost Expedition. That was a failed British voyage led by Captain Sir John Franklin that departed from England in 1845 aboard two ships, the HMS Erebus and the HMS Terror. And they were assigned to traverse the last unnavigated sections of the Northwest Passage in the Canadian Arctic and to record magnetic data and help determine whether a better understanding could aid navigation. The expedition met with disaster after both ships and their crews, a total of 129 officers and men, became icebound in the Victoria Strait near King William Island in what is today the Canadian territory of Nunavut. After being icebound for more than a year, they were abandoned, by which point Franklin and nearly two dozen others had died. The survivors, now led by Franklin's second-in-command, Francis Crozier, and Erebus's captain, James Fitzjames, set out for the Canadian mainland and disappeared, having presumably perished. So there is some real-life mystery. It is very interesting. They don't really know what happened. They later on, trying to find the... So after... So... I'm not going to read through all the rest of this, but it is a fascinating thing if you want to read it. But more modern investigations, they did find King Dinosaur says, sorry, I'm late. It really would have been in this topic. I've read a lot about it. Absolutely fascinating. It is. And they did eventually find remains. Some of the remains they found looked like they had the markings of what they believe to be human teeth. So they suspect cannibalism. They now know, given some of the equipment that they brought, that there were disasters regarding some of the equipment that was brought. And so they have theories about what happened. But to this day, nobody knows. After they walked off to the mainland... all they found were basically evidence of the deceased. So nobody really knows. Nobody knows exactly what happened after they left the ships. They had, I believe, journals on some of the ships of some of the things that were happening. But that's basically all they found were the bodies after the fact. King Dinosaur says the corpses were very well preserved in the freezing temperatures. Yeah, like eerie. Like old... canvas tents with basically frozen bodies. You know, obviously they sort of also dry out, but like emaciated corpses and some of them that look like they had been devoured by other people. So there are some spoilers ahead. Some spoilers ahead here, but I want to read this review because hopefully this entices you to watch this show. And I feel like even... after you know what happens, this is so well acted. The dialogue is so good. There are some heart-wrenching exchanges, some absolutely beautiful and haunting scenery, some very creepy sequences, and some very shocking sequences. I found this write-up and review that I'm going to post here in the chat. So this is from the Victorian Web. On the Terror. So here we go. I'm going to read this aloud. So again, some potential spoilers, but I hope you find this informative. So here we go. Frozen and isolated at the end of the Earth, a chilling tale based on one of the polar exploration's deepest mysteries, with a crew stalked by a murderous presence. The bare facts of the Franklin expedition are well known and can be summed up in a few words. In 1845, the mariners set out on the ships Erebus and Terror in pursuit of the Northwest Passage, and were never seen again. 120 sailors, both officers and men, disappeared into the landscape. A few relics were recovered by all-too-late rescue missions, along with evidence of cannibalism, and it was not until the modern age that archaeologists located a number of graves, and finally, the two ships. The explanation for this terrible loss is probably a matter of deadly mistakes and deadly circumstances. There is strong evidence to suggest that the crews were poisoned by the lead seals in their canned food, which may have impaired their judgment. It is equally possible that difficulties arose when Franklin took too long to evacuate the ships when supplies were low, and it is just as possible that a mutiny destroyed all chance of an organized march to safety in northern Canada. What actually happened is impossible to know with certainty. The story remains a horrifying mystery as intrepid Britons perished in the terrible cold, one of the most desolate places on earth. It is a ready-made subject for drama, and the recent series, punningly entitled The Terror, has turned the tale into a fine piece of Gothic television. Based on a novel by Dan Simmons, first shown on AMC TV in 2018 and aired on BBC in 2021, The Terror adds an extra dimension to what is already a grim narrative. Locked in by the crushing ice, undernourished and afraid, the sailors also have to contend with a mystical but all too corporeal monster, Itunbak, or Inuit spirit creature, which picks them off and drives them into territories of madness. Their attempts to survive and what ultimately happens is teased out in detail over the 10 45-minute episodes as they move towards their doom. King Dinosaur says, that novel is so damn good. I'm going to read it now. I absolutely have to read it. Several critics have described the series as depressing, but it is better understood as a tragedy in which the hubris of British imperialism is anatomized quite literally in withering detail. Written by David Kajanich, whose dense scripts preserve the finely nuanced language of class, the series traces the very many mistakes that led to disaster. It is obvious from the start that the ship's little epitomes of upper-class life, all ritual and comfort, with meals eaten off the finest porcelain, is completely at odds with the savage coldness of the Arctic, and there is a painful juxtaposition between the social niceties and luxury of the captain's quarters and the vessel's ghostly, frost-riven exteriors. The British don't fit in this environment and have no right to be there, a message bluntly conveyed by the Inuit lady's silence and made more than apparent as the ships, equipped with the latest technology and designed to subjugate the world, grind to an impotent halt. But the greatest error and the focus of failure in this reading of events is the appointment of Franklin as the expedition's captain. Brilliantly played by Ciarán Hinds, the overage captain is depicted as arrogant, indecisive, lacking in empathy, inflexible, and altogether unequal to the task. Like my current CEO. Like all poor leaders, he prioritizes the upholding of his authority over the need to accept others' suggestions, a position that means he is too late to respond to changing situations. Already iced in, he proclaims to the crew that they will be the new Argonauts, as the bedraggled sailors look on in dismay. Unable to read his men, he literally tries to plow on. This vanity and lack of understanding is particularly highlighted in Franklin's refusal to listen to James Crozier. Played by Jared Harris in another complex and deeply felt performance, this interpretation emphasizes the oft-stated view that Crozier was an able leader and ignoring him was a fatal mistake. The contrast between the two is highlighted by dividing episodes into two halves. Roughly speaking, the expedition led by Franklin and the ice pack is an unmitigated disaster, while the attempt to escape under Crozier's command had at least a chance of success, had action be taken earlier. Black Cat says, I enjoyed Dark Tale, but they must have been quite brave. When you watch this show and you watch what these guys go through and you watch what they had to do and endure, like, those are some fucking hard motherfuckers. I mean, we go on and on about that, and maybe someday we'll get into that old school exploration age. But I want to finish this and read this here. But that's a good point. It's a very good point. Hines, Harris, and an outstanding cast of British actors give a tangible presence to the historical figures, developing their characterizations in great detail, which acknowledges their many faults. Directed by Tim Milance, Edward Berger, and Sergio Mimica Gazan, the acting is always precise and revealing, with many pieces of close observation adding a powerful resonance to the performance's psychological impact. In episode 7, for example, we see the moment when Crozier decides to abandon the terror. Faithfully, he makes the entry in the log, but his depth of feeling is most clearly revealed in his small gesture of running his hand along an interior wall, a caressing farewell of genuine affection. All he can do is say goodbye to a beloved home. And what lies ahead is a mystery. Those events are themselves informed with careful research, and the series offers a number of speculations on the extent to which the crew were aware of what was happening. It is intriguing, for example, to see that Paul Reddy, in the part of Dr. Goodsir, is clever enough to deduce that they're being poisoned by the lead seals of Goldner's canned food, a notion only advanced in modern scholarship. There are several conversations connected to the rancid contents of the tins, and those in the galley, at least, are already aware of the dangers of eating what's essentially poisonous. There are also several half-veiled allusions to what happened to some of the men in Franklin's previous expedition. Did they die of starvation, and were they the meals of others? Though only implicit, the ghost of cannibalism and bestiality stalks the journey almost from the start. None of this matters. Pardon me. None of this matters as the expedition decays, and we are shown at length the stages of disintegration, both physical and psychological. Fear sets in, and behavior takes strange turns, most notably in the surreal masque played out in Marquee on the Ice to raise the men's spirits. It looks like it could be a family event on the lawn in Surrey, emblematic of home, but the sailors are already in a dream world, wearing weird disguises and presenting the frozen dead as mannequins, as if in a depraved circus act. Mutiny follows in the hands of Cornelius Hickey, a swaggering psychopath, plausibly played by Adam Negatus. That guy, when you see this character, you will fucking hate him by the end of the show. He does such a good job. Like, I just wanted to grab that dude and strangle him. And the British stiff upper lip and decency are nowhere to be seen as the characters decline into uncertainty and confusion. In this connection, the ship's creaking and tilting as they are crushed adds another suggestive layer of meaning, making the physical setting a metaphor of dislocation and anxiety. The time is indeed out of joint. This is intense drama, with a sophisticated interplay of text and subtext. Equally effective are the settings and trappings. The costumes and interiors are convincingly rendered and recreate a sense of period without giving a sense of museum starchiness. So often happens in historical drama. It is the exteriors, however, that take the plaudits. Though partly shot on location, the main action takes place on the ice pack, which was recreated in the studio using CGI. The effect is breathtaking, a vision of what the ships must have looked like as tiny black oblongs seen from a vast height, toiling through an endless white expanse or grounded in the ice, racked with the cold and eerily converted into specters of themselves. The cinematography by Florian Hofmeister is far above the usual reach of television and creates a poetic vision of otherness, a beauty so strangely at odds with its own deadliness. It is work that reminds us of Ridley Scott's involvement as an executive producer and expert who crafted the weird landscapes of the Alien series of films. He surely had hand in the art direction of the terror's threatening whiteout. What then are the series' messages? Its critique of imperialism and the vanities of empire are plain for all to see. Yet there are other possibilities. The terror is in many ways a parable of man's limitations in the face of natural forces, reminding us of the puniness of civilization and the omnipresence of death, a tale like the story of Icarus of ambition and overreaching pride. It also yields to a psychoanalytical approach, with the Tunbach acting as the embodiment of fear, the strange creation, perhaps, of anxiety produced in response to great adversity. All these suggestions are offered and unresolved, making the terror into a gothic speculation on the unknown, which might ultimately be the unknown territories of the mind. Although a physical journey, it is inward as much as outward, an expedition to discover the limitations of the human psyche. All that is left is the power of friendship, especially in the form of the compassion of Crozier and Goodsir, as they lament the loss of friends and try their hardest to preserve what little remains. We may not like Franklin, but the crew's response to his death, with very little to put in his coffin, is pathetic in the true sense of the term. In short, the terror is enthralling television, superbly written, designed, acted, and photographed. It keeps the viewer guessing despite the inevitability of the end. We care profoundly for the characters and the tragic demise in a world where the tokens of human culture, or at least Western culture, mean nothing at all, and England, recounted in flashback, is just a dream. Tough and uncompromising, with many visceral effects, startling imagery, and heart-rending dialogue, the terror leaves a powerful impression of small and vulnerable figures, forked creatures, trapped by their own limitations, as much as they are trapped by the dazzling ice. So, it's incredible. This is one of those, I don't want to say like things that makes me kind of sad, but like, look, I love Breaking Bad. I liked a lot of these shows, but I feel like, quote unquote, nobody talked about this show. It's on Hulu right now. And that's why I ended up catching it. I had gotten a Hulu subscription for a month and I was like, oh man, I always wanted to watch this. It's on there. Yeah, We Pale. That's a big one. And so as I'm watching this, and some of those themes that they talk about, like, I'm suffering through similar management at my company. You have a commander who is just trying to keep his authority and more or less act as, I don't know, a god figure. Meanwhile, everybody else is looking at one another, hollow versions of themselves, weary, beaten, fatigued, and all of them continue to soldier on because, unfortunately, a lot of us, like whip dogs, we want the respect of our masters. We want to please because it's our job. And so in this case, you watch these people trapped out in these horrible conditions. And unfortunately for them, it ends up being too late. So this resonated with me for a lot of reasons. There was that, and there was also just the inevitability of the man versus nature, of being out of water, like the article said, the hubris of thinking that, well, because we are the big British Navy, there's nothing we can't handle, and being confronted with situations that quickly deteriorate and spiral out of control with speculation, fear, and confusion. I have no choice, I can't help but think of the world right now in regards to what happened with COVID and politics and everything else, that I feel like it's a similar scenario. And you've got mutinies happening, you have more or less people eating poisoned food, quote unquote, and you've got a lot of confusion and fear. And I just hope that at the end of this, what we do not do is end up like the possible crews of the Erebus and the Terror and to consume each other in the last stages of exhaustion, trapped out, alone, afraid, and only wanting to go home. Cheers. Black Cat, I agree with you. They are the same conflicts that humankind has, I think, struggled with since we first started writing written words and conquering and trying to wrangle and wrest the world into the form we want. And look, I am by no means some big super, but like, look, I believe in technological, but you have to have respect and understanding. And you also have to understand that for as much as you may be pawned for the Royal and British Navy, you don't know everything that's out there. There are uncharted places of the planet, of the universe, our minds, and ourselves. And so I think it is a great disservice to, unfortunately, like Captain Franklin, be so occupied with keeping your authority that you don't realize that perhaps the situation has gotten out of control. Absolutely recommend this series. It's 10 episodes. They're about an hour or so a piece. This is the sort of show where you want to have the lights low and you want to really focus on it. The acting and the sound. So on Hulu, it goes up to 4K and they do have 5.1 sound. The sounds of the ships, weary and creaking and howling under the stress and pressure of the ice. The ships themselves, you almost get the impression and the feeling that they are crying, trapped out in a place that they have no business being. Like, the environment itself are actors. The items are actors. Black Cat says, I love old ships. When you look at these old ships and you hear and you see them frozen and frost covered and just locked into the ice, even that, for a thing that has no quote unquote personality, it's heartbreaking. It is a phenomenal show. I don't know why it's not talked about more. I feel like to a certain degree it kind of flew under the radar. But I would love it if you checked this show out. Let me know what you think. And if you enjoyed it, please spread the word, because I am a huge advocate for good TV and good programming, good writing and good directing, all being pushed forward and propagated in lieu of some of the rest of the stuff that to me doesn't seem to hold as much heart or as much message. But I'm absolutely going to watch this show probably a second or a third time at some point in my life. It is that good. I don't think I've done that with really any show other than maybe the A-Team. But just the sound and the shots of stuff is just incredible. A little history never hurt anyone either. Right. These guys were, again, they were hard motherfuckers. These weren't like newbie sailors. You know, these were hard naval folks. And again, they were like, we'll go up there, no problem. We've got this all handled. And again, you watch some of these crews. There's a shot where like some of the officers are in this rather opulent looking, almost looks like a fucking library with leather accoutrement, and it's fucking all beautiful and everything. And then they switch to a shot of another dude who's off in the other sleeping quarters, who's upstairs, and he's getting his toes cut off because he's got frostbite on his toes and his toes are falling off. And it's just like, oh my God. I mean, I think about that when I think about oh my God, I lost a tooth. And like, that's a nightmare of mine. But can you imagine having your fingers and toes getting fucking cut off, or getting your wrist or your fingers caught in a rope and getting shit just ripped out of their sockets? Well, commonplace. People losing limbs and fingers and digits and all sorts of shit. It's a heavy show. It's an intense drama. but watch it with the intensity that it was made with and deserves. It's spectacular. I highly recommend it. So that's the end of that. I hope you enjoyed reading that little article. I'm going to be putting that in the podcast show notes. I think I'm probably also going to retweet that out. I would love it if you guys watched this show and told me what you think. But I can't recommend it enough. It is a perfect mix of kind of everything. There's no comedy, really. But it's drama, history, intrigue, terror, horror, supernatural, survivalism, human, like, it's a mix of just all of the best elements of what I feel like is a good story. So, thank you so much. Unless anybody else has any other, Black Cast is very interesting. I do have Hulu for about a month too. I will watch it right up my alley. You will love this. And I also can't stress this enough. The acting is absolutely impeccable. There isn't a single actor miscast who does a poor job. Like, I don't want to say it's a perfect show because nothing is perfect. But there's almost nothing that's like kind of fucked up and then where you're like, yeah, that was pretty bad. It is consistently spot on and dialed in from the beginning to the fucking end. And I'm not going to lie, I got choked up at the very end of it. It's really, really good. And on that note, as long as I'm still around, and as long as you're still here to keep me company, hopefully we will never find ourselves lost and alone out there on a field of crushed stone, lost and bereft. So we'll always keep ourselves company, and hopefully we can avoid such tragedies by talking to each other and respecting and loving each other's personalities, differences, opinions, and courses. Okay? Stay safe, keep the faith, and all that good shit. We'll see you again tomorrow for another 11 p.m. nightcap. Good night.